The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. A leper came to Jesus and kneeling down begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched him and said to him, "I do will it, be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately and he was made clean. And warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad, so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord. Let's just bow our heads and start with a prayer. Amen. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Grant us the light of your Holy Spirit, that the scriptures today and the words spoken here may produce fruit in our souls for eternal life. We ask this in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, when I sat down to look at the readings for this weekend, I first looked at St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. I thought I was going to focus on that, but I'm just going to mention it just in passing. He says some basic thing that we all need to do. Brothers and sisters, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. What he's talking about is supernaturalizing everything that you do, not to waste anything during our short time of life here in the pilgrimage, to unite everything with Christ so it takes on an eternal value so it's not wasted. Now, as I'm going through the readings, what really struck me today, and I sort of shifted gears, is about the priesthood. The Old Testament priesthood and the New Testament priesthood, and what I'm presenting these readings here today. Now, the first reading is from Leviticus 13. And it said, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, if someone has a skin or a scab or a pustule or a blotch, if he has any kind of leprosy, he should be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of the priests among his descendants. Because if the man is leprous and unclean, the priest shall declare him unclean." Now this comes up throughout the Old Testament. So what we hear is our God wanted the priest in the line of Aaron to be responsible for the care of those with leprosy or sin. If this gentleman here that was in the gospel that had the leprosy, our Lord said it warned him sternly, so implying that he had done some kind of grievous sin. The Lord was saying, repent, reform your life, otherwise what you come back later will be even worse. So we have this Old Testament priest in Leviticus 13, how they're to go to the priest. And then this Mark chapter 1 here, our Lord, after he does his healing, what does he say? He said, "But now go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed." God instituted an Old Testament priesthood and then also the New Testament priesthood, which we shall see. This morning, providentially, the first reading was from 1 Kings chapter 13. And in that reading that was read this morning, we have Jeroboam. He builds temples in high places. And then it says this, "And he made priests from among the people who are not Levites." What Jeroboam did, it was evil. And then he appointed other priests from among the common people. And then it says on, "This was a sin on the part of the house of Jeroboam, for which he was to be cut off and destroyed from the earth." So what these readings are pointing out is God established a priesthood, but it comes from above. It's not instituted by man, but it's instituted by Jesus Christ himself. It has a divine origin. Now when Christ walk the earth in his humanity in his visible body, how did he work the miracles and cure the sick and heal? It was through the vehicle of his flesh, his humanity, his divinity going through that. Now what God does, he uses the priesthood, the priests and the bishops. It's a defined article of the Catholic faith that the ordained ministerial priesthood, the sacrament of holy orders, was instituted personally by Jesus Christ, God himself, at the Last Supper. And the priest has this amazing gift and power. where he speaks in the first person of Christ, where he takes bread, says, "This is my body. This is my blood." When he goes into the confessional, he's there in the person of Christ. "I absolve you from your sins." We have a baptism today after Mass. The priest will say, "I baptize you." It's Christ working through the priesthood. There's a deep ontological change that happens to the very being of the priest when he is ordained. No priest or bishop is worthy of the vocation that he lives. But it says in Scripture, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." So God chooses the weak and he makes them strong through his grace. Now, just real briefly here, Father Hardin, whom I have a great respect for, he's a servant of God. He died in the year 2000. He'll soon be venerable and blessed and saint by God's grace. But he said in the Old Testament, you look, the priest was a mediator. He stood before the people, with the people then, and represented them to God, and then God to the people. And he said the first function was to be a mediator. The second was to offer sacrifice. And then the other part was to bring sin offering. So you have in the Old Testament, they would offer up oxen and cattle, wheat, barley, oats, fruit trees, and everything. Now, with the advent of Christ, what happens? You have Jesus Christ, and the Last Supper institutes the Mass, which is the unbloody presentation of his sacrifice on Calvary. And so Christ, through his priesthood, he continues to live that in his priesthood. There's many things. We had a whole, in seminary, we had one semester just on the priesthood, going through the scriptures and something. See, without the priesthood, the church doesn't exist. Without the priesthood, there is no Eucharist. Without the priesthood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the priesthood, there is no sacrament of confirmation. Without the priesthood, there is no baptism. It's something very mysterious that God would entrust this, not to angels, but to mere men to continue his mission of priesthood on this earth. Now, why does Father talk about this here today? Because people have come to me and they get upset. They get upset saying, "Father, my priest never talked about any of the truths or things in the catechism. He never talks about abortion. He never talks about pro-life issue. Our priest never talks about the Eucharist. The way he offers Mass, Father, I even wonder if he really believes what happens there at Mass." Our priest, I'm just giving examples. Our priest, Father, they never have confessions, just maybe 15 minutes on the weekend, that's it. And he's late, and then he leaves early. So basically, there's no minutes. Or they'll say, "Father, all the things going on, I heard about all these bishops speaking up about the Department of Health and Human Services and how our religious freedoms and liberties are being taken away, and they're not just the Catholic faith, but other faithfuls are encroaching on us, and they haven't said one thing about it. There's nothing in the bulletin, nothing from the pulpit, and there's many other things like that." What should we do? Pray for the priest. True story. There's a gentleman, a priest roughly 40 years, not in our diocese. About 15 years ago, he said at the intercessions at Mass, listen to this, this is a quote, pray for the courageous pro-choice people who continue to fight for women's rights," referring to abortion. Can you imagine hearing that? So this priest then gets transferred and gets his parish. And what happens? These people are like, "Oh my goodness, what happened with this priest's seminary formation? He hasn't read the scriptures or the catechism." So what they did, they came together and they prayed and they prayed in rosaries. Guess what? That priest now spends 3 hours in Eucharistic adoration and prayer every day, and he has a perpetual Eucharistic adoration chapel now at his parish. By the prayers of the people. The prayers of the people. They could have condemned him, they could have done this, like that. But they realize, well, listen to this. This is something, by God's grace, since I've been here, I've been to Medjugorje 3 times, and there's been a number of people from the parish who've gone. The church hasn't given us official blessing, but cardinals like Cardinal Schoenborn, the author of the catechism, has been there, and other bishops. So you could take it or leave it. But listen to these words. October 3rd, 2011, a lady had appeared to one of the visionaries, Virgiana. And Our Lady, this is Virgiana speaking, and then I'll quote Our Lady. "Our Lady, she always talks about what we should do for the priest. They do not need you to judge and criticize them. They need your prayers and your love. Because God will judge them as priests. and God will judge the way that you treated your priest. Our Lady says, quote, this is key, I've seen this, quote, if you lose your respect towards the priest, you will lose your respect for the church and for God as well. Sometimes I meet someone who's been away from the church for years because some priest on a bad day got a little angry with them. That's it, I'm not going to church. That's not logical, is it? You ever meet a police officer, he pulls you over, he's having a bad day, maybe he treats you a little rough. All police officers are bad. It's not logical, right? That's one person that doesn't represent. So same thing here. Now Our Lady goes on. In the same way, during the second month of the apparition, this is quoting Marjana, then Our Lady, she always says something about the importance of priests. For example, she gives us her blessing. She says, quote, I'm giving you my motherly blessing, but the greatest blessing you can receive on earth is the blessing that comes from your priest. When they bless you, it is my son himself blessing you. She says also, quote, do not forget to pray for your shepherds. The priestly hands are blessed or consecrated by my son. Quote, that is why I'm kindly asking you, when you go back to your parishes, to show to the others how you should respect our priest. If your priest is not doing the things the way you think he should, do not judge him. Take the rosary and pray to dear God for him. That would be the way to help him, not to judge. Because in this world that we live in, people judge and criticize so much because there's so little love. If you meet a soul that's always criticizing, Our Lady says, because there's so little love. And Our Lady desires that we all may be seen through love and not to take into our own hands what our Heavenly Father God is supposed to do. It goes on. Now, Mirjana, like other Marian apparition sites, was given secrets. And she says this, I'm sorry I can't share with you more what's happening in the future. We have this time right now. She said, we're living in this time. There's going to come a time for the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She said, between right now and that time, there's a bridge, and that bridge is our priest. That is why Our Lady insists so much that we pray for them, because that bridge needs to be strong enough for every one of us to cross over it. Because Our Lady said, quote, alongside the priest, I will triumph, which means that without priest, there is no triumph of Our Lady's heart. Now, dear friends, these hands here, relatively small, not like a pro wrestler's, I could crush somebody's head. I don't have the power where I could pick up a pen and write in the executive order. I can't sculpt beautiful statues and things and make those for our adoration chapel soon to be completed. I can't do all that. But like every other priest that God, the church, has ordained since Holy Thursday night, I could take bread and I could say, this is my body, this is my blood over the wine, and God becomes present here at the altar. Whoa, that's just something, how do you fathom that? You accept it by faith. And so God, Our Lady, in the scriptures, is the priesthood of divine origin. We need your prayers. And all these different issues come up. I'm thinking, whoa, there's this and that. We need your prayers. There's a lot of things that happen in the life of the priest. We come up against some evils, some very deep evils. There are people who have given themselves over to evils, and there's all kinds of things. We need your prayers. And then here's the beauty of it. The more you pray for the priest, and the priest is strengthened in his vocation, guess what happened? The more prayers are being prayed for you, and you're being showered with the protection of his priesthood. Just like that priest who 15 years ago didn't have a clue about the pro-life and something I can't even fathom, but it's true. Now he's a prayer warrior, and he has an adoration chapel. Thanks be to God. So we receive our Lord and Holy Communion today. Let's just say this. Lord, you can make it your own work, but essentially, Lord, I'm a sinner. We all fall short of your glory. Dear Lord, if any priest is rubbing you the wrong way, or any, if you're visiting, you always get visitors here, and maybe things at your parish aren't the way that you would like, pray for the priest. Perhaps there's things here you don't like at East of you. Okay, pray for Father Barry and myself. By prayer, praying for each other, that's how we build up the mystical body of Christ. And love is present there. And if love's present there, God's Son, and the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen.